Now I call this meeting to order. It's Nassau County Board of Supervisors for November 4th, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin today's meeting with a presentation from Adopt a Pet. We have two pets up for adoption today, so I'll see them rolling them out. The first one, actually let me go over to last month first. We featured two pets, a cat named Scarlet, who was rescued on October 27th, and the dog named Ducky, who was adopted on October 7th. Today we have two animals here up for adoption. The first one is our cat, Kahlua. She is a domestic short-haired gray tabby with white on her chest and feet. She's approximately 3 years old. She loves to be petted and starts purring immediately. She would be a great addition to any family. She has been at Stanislaus Animal Services since September 16th. See a nice picture over there. Looks like a very friendly cat. And our featured dog is Princess. Princess is a beautiful, dark, caramel brown and white pit bull mix. She is approximately a year and 8 months old. She is a quiet and well-mannered dog. She loves kids, and she is ready to be home for the holidays and for many years to come. She has been with Stanislaus Animal Services Agency since August 29th. Both animals are available today for adoption at the Stanislaus Animal Shelter. Please remember that adding a new member to your family is a big commitment, and that the shelter staff is here to help you meet your new best friend. To adopt either of these animals, or the many other animals we have at the shelter, please visit the shelter at 3647 Cornucopia Way, or call the animal shelter at 558-7387. Adoptable animals can be viewed at the county's website at www.stanislausanimalservices.com. And so we have a proclamation next for designating November 2014 as Family Caregiver Month and November 9th through the 15th, 2014 as In-Home Services Care Workers Recognition Week. I don't know who's giving the presentation.
Good morning, Chairman and Board of Supervisors. My name is Terry Walker Dampier, and I'm truly honored to be here to accept this on behalf of the thousands of home care providers here in Stanislaus County. Even though we are what it seems like an uphill battle every year, fighting for dignity and respect for our clients and ourselves, in the end, it is worth it, because I know we are blessed, even been doing the work of God in providing care for this community, for our community, elderly, and disabled. And this proclamation is just a small way of showing appreciation and recognition for the work we do as home care providers and the value in the service in providing. Thank you again for this proclamation, and we all, on behalf of all home care providers, we're so glad to be able to do God's work in our community. Thank you.
Okay, Astrid, would you like to say a few words there?
Truthfully, I think Terry said it very eloquently. Again, I want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to recognize the hard work that all of the home care providers in Stanislaus County do. And I would like to extend an invitation, as we did last year. We will be holding a provider appreciation event and wellness fair for the home care providers here in Santa Claus County, here at the Modesto Central Plaza on November 21st from 2 to 6 p.m. I extend the invitation to all the Board of Supervisors to come out and meet the home care providers in the community. Thank you very much.
I have a resolution for the board. If you come up, I'll present it to you. Very happy to present this certificate to you as a resolution. This is for all the work that the health care providers or home care providers provide for the elderly, sick, and disabled so they can live as normal a life as possible. So you have 3,400 caregivers just in this county. So I'm sure their work is recognized today, and we appreciate what they do. So I'd like to present this to you. Get a picture of it here, turn it around. Would you like to say any last words?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for coming in today. Here we have several employee service awards to give out today, recognizing long-term employees of the county. So we'll start with Madeline. We have several department heads that are going to be speaking, so we'll start with you today.
So this is the 25 year?
The 35?
No, 35.
Okay. Great.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, supervisors, Mr. Rise and Mr. Doring. It's my pleasure this morning to honor a couple of employees in our department for their service. We're starting with an employee with 35 years of service, Brenda Cachel. Brenda began her career with the county, working with the Health Service Agency as an account clerk, too, in October of 1979. She held various positions of increasing responsibility at HSA until she transferred to what was then the Department of Mental Health and now BHRS in July of 1998. Although she started out in our business office, we have been increasingly grateful that she chose to join our quality services team. As a result of internal reorganization, her unit became part of our data management performance outcomes unit. She brought a wealth of knowledge to this unit. As more attention is being paid to outcomes, having her expertise in this area is invaluable. She receives frequent recognition for her thoroughness, attention to detail, and the quality of her work. She demonstrates a strong commitment to her work. Her helpfulness and willingness to train others makes her team stronger. Excuse me. Brenda is always eager to learn, demonstrates good problem-solving skills, and is a source of new ideas. These characteristics are certainly welcome in an ever-changing technological field. As the point person for our consumer perception surveys, a key state requirement, she ensures that our performance in this area stands out in the state. On a personal note, Brenda loves giving to her community. For instance, she's a founding member of two charter schools in our county, University Charter School on Coffee and Summit Charter Academy on Hatch. These schools focus on helping children, regardless of their background, including difficult-to-place students, to strive for excellence and to realize that school is not over after the 12th year, but sometime after the fourth year of college. She and her husband, Robert, have tried to continue being active in the charter schools by participating annually in the Rite of Passage Experience presentation. As a cancer survivor, she supports cancer research and enjoys participating in the Relay for Life Twilight Walk annually. She also enjoys being a mobile notary, providing services to working families in the evenings and weekends so that they do not have to take off work to get their notary needs attended. She loves baseball, horses, and animals in general, beautiful and fast cars, and old movies. Congratulations, Brenda, on your 35 years of service.
Come on up. I have a certificate for you.
To get the
tubes
warmed up on this.
Okay, so I have a plaque for you for 35 years of faithful service. It's a pleasure to present it to you. Yeah, I was only 4 years old when you started with the county. So I heard that something in the presentation about you like fast cars and stuff. I think you and I are probably quite a bit alike. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering you just nice a bit.
Oh, is that right? Well, I still do that when the police aren't looking, so I'll have to take them out sometime running through the quarter mile. So,
that would be fun.
Well, did you bring any family with you today or friends?
No, I believe my husband is supporting a friend who's having a very serious surgery, back surgery. So, that Stan knows my husband between the two of us. We have close to 70 years service for the County of San Jose. Yes, he was.
Okay, I remember
yeah.
him.
Yeah. So we've enjoyed our time as community, being a community service-oriented family. Our children are taking up the slack, and they're also giving back to our community, as well as other communities across the nation my daughter volunteers for. So, and Stan, keep up those emails. They're very inspirational.
Okay, well, congratulations on 35 years, and a nice day. We'll take those cars out and run them. Captain Duncan will give the next presentation, a 30-year service award.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, CEO Rising, Mr. Doring. Obviously, the sheriff cannot make it this morning. He's attending a funeral for one of the officers lost in the Sacramento areas this morning. But it is my privilege and my honor to recognize today Maria Victoria Maldonado, who we know affectionately as Vicky. Vicky has been with the department for 30 years. She has a history of exceptional performance, loyalty, dedication, and commitment. She has worked for me, as I was one of her supervisors during that period of time. And just to reflect over her history, Vicky was hired as a clerk typist 2 at the Sheriff's Department on August 2, 1984, and assigned to the Records Department. She was later assigned in 1987 to the Detectives Division until she was promoted to Clerk Typist 3 on December 17, 1988, at which time she was assigned to the Crime Analysis Unit. She was promoted to Secretary on August 1, 1990, and the position was reclassified to Confidential Assistant 3 on September 12, 1998. She's been assigned to the Adult Detention Division Administration since March 5, 2005, and Vicky herself wanted to recognize her notable supervisors during that period of time: Sheriff Les Weidman, Assistant Sheriff Richard Bashirs, Assistant Sheriff Myron Larson, Captain Rod Wells, Captain Bill Duncan, thank you for that, and Lieutenant Mike Bailey, who is currently the commander at the men's jail where Vicky is currently employed. Not only is Vicky a committed employee with the department, she also has a track record for outstanding service in the community. And just to name a few, Vicky has served in the past as chairman and is currently the vice chairman for the Juvenile Justice Commission of the San Jose County Probation Department. And it should be noted, she also recruited myself and Lieutenant Daly. We also were on the Juvenile Justice Commission as a result of Vicky's endorsement. Vicky served as the past secretary for a number of years and current member of the Police Activities League since 1997. She was the Sheriff's Department liaison to the Hispanic community and media. She's a graduate of Leadership Modesto in 2010. She served as Vice President of the Latino Community Roundtable Organization. She served as a student minister for Our Lady of Assumption Parish. She is recipient of the Outstanding Latino of the Year Award from the Latino Community Roundtable. She was featured in El Sol Modesto Bee newspaper article entitled Hispanic Pride. She has a bachelor's degree in Rebel Studies and a minor in Spanish from California State University Stanislaus, totally homegrown. She owned a grocery store and Mexican restaurant in Turlock. She's a dedicated daughter and sister to four brothers and one sister. She's a mother to three lovely daughters and three sons-in-laws. And believe it or not, looking at her, it's finding it very hard to believe with her youthful appearance, but she's a grandmother to 10 grandchildren with an 11th one on the way. Vicki, congratulations on 30 years of dedicated service. Thank you very much.
Hi, I want to congratulate you on 30 years of service. Well, you have quite a history there with the community as when they were reading that off, so you've been very involved. So. Okay, let me give you this here for the picture, and then I'll turn it over to you. Okay, I'll hold it for you.
Oh, thank you. I just have a couple of words here. It's long. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the Board of Supervisors, distinguished guests, family, and friends. It is a privilege and an honor for me to be here, and I am earnestly grateful for this recognition. It is hard to believe 30 years have gone by so quickly. However, I did not make this journey alone. Numerous people have supported and inspired me along the way. In thinking back and reflecting, 30 years ago, I was a young woman of 28 and newly hired by the Sheriff's Department. A young mother of a four-year-old and married to a recently and honorably discharged Army veteran. I had worked several jobs before my current job, including working in Germany, and never dreamed I would find myself working for the Sheriff's Department, and much less that it would develop into a lifelong career. When young, we believe we can do it all, and I fondly remember attending Modesto Junior College while working swing shift, raising a family, and later enrolling in a university and obtaining my bachelor's degree. Life looks good and the future looked promising. During my career with the Sheriff's Department, I met many wonderful people and made lifelong friends, some of which are here today. Thank you. Together we share tales of joy and of sadness while also facing a few challenges along the way, but each only strengthened me to make me the person I am today. This day could not have been achieved without the inspiration I have received from my family, my peers, and my mentors, for whom I have the deepest respect, and from whom I have derived the strength to challenge myself and perform better at each stage throughout my career. I would like to thank the family. First and foremost, I thank God for his presence and guidance in all areas of my life. Also the following for their mentorship, guidance, encouragement, and friendship in particular. Retired Sheriff Les Wellman, Assistant Sheriff Richard Bushes, Captain Rob Wells, Captain Bill Duncan, thank you, and Lieutenant Mike Bailey, to mention a few, for helping me reach this 30-year mark of achievement. I can only promise to only get better at my work until I am ready to take the next step and retire. Last but not least, I'd like to thank my parents, my late father, Victor, for instilling within me a strong work ethic, and to my mother, who happens to be here today, for her unconditional love, encouragement, and support, always. I am blessed with an amazing and supportive family that also includes my daughters, Marina, Devin, and Sasha, who have always been there to support me, my siblings, my sister Rosa, and my good friends. Thank you again for your encouragement and support.
Okay, but congratulations on 30 years. Okay, well now we have some 25-year service awards. Madeline, I'll get
you up here again.
It is my pleasure to recognize Michelle Serrato for her 25 years of service. Michelle was hired by Community Service Agency, then the Department of Social Service, in May of 1989 as a social worker. She worked in both adult services and child protective services, including emergency response. In December 1999, she transferred to the Department of Mental Health, now BHRS, as a mental health clinician. Consequently, she has good knowledge of both systems, which can be quite useful to us. With BHRS, she has dedicated her time to our department to providing services to children, beginning with her employment in our co-located child welfare unit, and most recently working in Leaps and Bounds, our 0-5 program. Michelle is well able to engage her clients, which is an asset. She is bilingual, which is a valuable and hard to recruit asset for our department, given the diversity of our population and the need for bilingual bicultural knowledge and sensitivity. Her skills in working with young victims of abuse and neglect have been very helpful and acknowledged, especially in crisis situations. For instance, while working in the Child Abuse Interview Referrals and Evaluation, the CARE Center, where services are provided for children who have experienced trauma and who have been victims of abuse, Michelle was acknowledged for her ability to assess victims in testifying in court, which, as you can imagine, is a very daunting task for very young children. She was able to assist one of her clients who fell down, who was unable to testify to begin with. She met with her, and she was able to do a good job after that. So very much appreciate that. So in ending, I'd like to congratulate Michelle on her 25 years of service to Stanislaus County. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to present this to you, 25 years of dedicated service, so, and for everything that you've done for the county, and we do appreciate it. Get a picture here first. Do you have any family or friends here you'd like to point out to us?
I'm not today, but I just want to thank everyone who is here already, especially the supervisors and persons from Child Welfare, where I first started, and I want to thank everyone who is here, and thank you for the opportunity to provide a very much needed services for all our families in the community.
Okay, congratulations on 25 years of service.
Thank you.
Okay, Kathy Harwell, you'll be given the next three presentations.
Good morning, Supervisor DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Risen, and Mr. Doring. It is always my pleasure to be here to recognize employees in their years of service. You know, one of the things that you heard throughout is just their commitment and our employees' commitment to the community. And you'll continue to hear that as I talk about the three employees from Community Services Agency. The first employee I'd like to recognize today is Jeff Lambaron for 25 years of service. Jeff started work with Stanislaus County on January 30th, 1989 as an employment coordinator for the GAIN program. GAIN was the Greater Avenues for Independence program. He worked in GAIN from June 1993, and if you remember in the early 90s, we had some significant challenges. And he was one employee who was faced with a reduction in force. We were very fortunate to have Jeff return to us after 5 months, and he continued his work in the GAIN program. After leaving the GAIN program, he became a social worker in 1994 for the In-Home Supportive Services program. Jeff worked for about a year and a half as an IHSS social worker, and then went to work for the Private Industry Council, now known as Alliance. He then worked, he accepted a position after that as associate management consultant in the CEO's office. One of the things that we're blessed with is employees who have an opportunity to work from department to department to gain lots of experience. Working at the CEO's office, he was appointed as a public authority director in late 2004. In July 2010, while continuing his role as a public authority director, Jeff found his way back to the Community Services Agency. In this capacity, he also serves as the Human Supportive Services Program and overseeing the Adult Protective Services Programs. Prior to working for Stanislaus County, Jeff had a long, different, varied career. Prior to working for Stanislaus County, Jeff worked as a respiratory therapist in various local hospitals. But the majority of his work was done at Scenic General Hospital. So again, that continued commitment to the county. Jeff has also played a significant role in the development and oversight of our disaster planning for the Community Services Agency, specifically related to care and shelter development. Last summer, we had a situation that occurred at Sundial Hotel, at the Sundial. And it's an assisted living facility, and they faced closure, potential closure. Jeff was instrumental in working with the team from the county in ensuring that the individuals residing in that community remain safe. And I'd like to thank Jeff for his efforts in that. Jeff refers to his most notable accomplishment as being appointed as a public authority director. This position has truly allowed him to use the public administration knowledge he obtained in his master's program at the community CSU Stanislaus. In this role, Jeff has been able to do labor negotiations, set up new health insurance plans for IHSS providers, contract with vendors, and train IHSS registry providers, hire and supervise staff, and do outreach presentations for numerous community groups. He's also been able to attend statewide meetings and facilitate state conferences. Ultimately, this has helped to serve the elderly and dependent adults, as well as children, to stay safe in their homes, who would otherwise need to live in an out-of-home environment. Currently, IHSS serves approximately 6,000 residents in Stanislaus County. Mr. Lembaron is a very caring and compassionate leader. He's focused on providing the best customer service to some of our most vulnerable populations in Stanislaus County. The other notable accomplishment that I'd like to recognize Jeff for is his help and assistance in the United Way campaign. Last year, he led CSA's campaign, and it was one of our highest generating years that we've had for donations for the United Way. On a personal note, Jeff is married to Sherry, and they've been married for 32 years. Congratulations.
You're welcome. They met in respiratory therapy school. They have two dogs, Ricky and Lucy, that they adopted from the animal services 10 years ago. And Jeff, now you saw dogs here today, so maybe it's time to adopt another.
His hobbies, Jeff enjoys travel, golf, and karate. Jeff has scored 2 holes-in-1 during his golfing adventures, one at Dryden Golf Course and another one at River Oaks in Ceres. So congratulations to Jeff, and thank you for your 25 years of service.
Hi, Jeff. It's a pleasure to present this to you. I see you have a long career with the county, so... I know I've sat in on some of the in-home supportive services meetings that you run, and like you got everything going pretty well there. So anyway, I'd like to present this with you. You know, Kathy was right about the animal services dog. You know, if you need another one there, you got the princess was a very nice addition to your family. So.
I was given specific instructions before I came to only come home with this plaque and nothing else.
Well, our animal services put the cat already in your car. Okay, well, congratulations on this. We look forward to another 25 years of service.
Would you like to say a few words? Do you have family or friends here?
My wife, Sherry, is watching at home now, so I want to thank her. And the smile that I gave Kathy was, I made a mistake in writing all this, and I put down 33 years. I jumped ahead a year, so Kathy was kind enough to get the correction in right on time. I want to thank all the people of Stanislaus County, the Board of Supervisors, and all the county employees. It's been a wonderful experience. Mentioned some of the things that I've been able to do. A lot of the great people I've worked with are here in the audience, and it's been a real honor. So thank you very much.
You could start a new tradition, years of service and an animal.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, every service award will give away a dog or a cat. Okay? Yeah, a nice bonus for the employees. And they'll be spayed, neutered, and microchipped.
So, the next employee that we'd like to recognize from the Community Services Agency is Olivia Malakos. Olivia has worked for Stanislaus County for 25 years. She began her career at the Department of Social Services as a data entry clerk, and she's seen an incredible amount of change in our community services agency. She also worked briefly at the Public Health and at a county hospital before returning to her assignment at the Department of Social Services, now known as Community Services Agency. Olivia's job responsibilities have transformed as technology has advanced, resulting in new responsibilities over the years. While she started as a data entry clerk, which we don't have data entry clerks any longer, she became a data processor. We don't have data processors any longer. And she's now an administrative clerk in the Community Services Agency's imaging unit because, as you know, we've gone to electronic files and document imaging. So Olivia has seen our agency transform over the years. Most notably, Olivia's first assignment was when she started with the county, and she compiled the first in-home supportive services instruction manual. There's a theme here. She was a participant in an early county trip to the Tolerance Museum in Los Angeles. Olivia has been a very active member on numerous committees throughout the years, including our morale committee, our cultural heritage committee, our professional dress committee, our Winterfest committee, and our all-staff appreciation committees. Olivia has represented the Community Services Agency at the Diversity Workshop at the King Kennedy Center and developed training on homelessness as a culture for the Cultural Diversity Week training. Olivia enjoys being involved with the community and the groups that benefit others. She's a member of the Cretan Club at her church, which is a philanthropic group whose fundraising activities benefit residents of Crete. They pay for school for orphans and help purchase wheelchairs for village residents. So I'd like to thank Olivia for her 25 years of service to the Community Services Agency and to the county.
Olivia, congratulations on 25 years of service. It's a pleasure giving you certificates to somebody who's halfway through with their career at the county now. I was listening to the, the technology, that's changed in the time that you've worked here. I'm sure you've probably done a better job of it than I have. I'm still using a mimeograph machine. but anyway, you've seen a lot of changes, and I hope this has been a great career for you. Do you like to say a few words? Do you have any family or friends here?
My sister's here. Everybody else is working. I'd like to thank the board and the public for coming out today and honoring me. It's been an honor and a pleasure serving Stanislaus County all these years. I've seen many positive changes to the service of the public over the years. And thank you for the opportunity.
And congratulations. And for our final service award today,
we have one more, and I think this is just a tribute to our county for having so many employees that are receiving awards today. for their commitment and our commitment to them. Sharon has worked for a community services agency for 25 years. She began as a volunteer through the GAME program. And for approximately 6 months, she worked with our personnel department before being hired as a mail clerk. Sharon advanced very quickly through the clerical path to the position of Administrative Clerk 3 in the Accounting Services section before transferring to Information Technology. Sharon then realized her goal of working at the IT Help Desk. And I tell you, the IT Help Desk plays such a significant role in our agency in helping all of our workers stay connected to our information technology systems. They answer our questions, and they're extremely patient, even when it's about not having turned on the computer. Sharon has been with CSA IT Help Desk since computers were deployed agency-wide, and she was recently promoted to her current Application Specialist 3 position, in which she's responsible for our IT inventory, which is substantial, obtaining state approval and purchasing IT equipment, which is no easy task, and managing all the network accounts for many of the programs used at the Community Services Agency. Most notably, Sharon has accomplished both professional and personal goals. She was a single mom and raised her two children, as well as her niece. She has 7 grandchildren, and most recently has assumed the responsibility for caring for both of her parents. During Sharon's career, she has accomplished many things, including developing IT newsletters to educate users about new programs, creating floor plans for CSA located on the agency intranet, developing and teaching many of our IT classes in-house, developing training programs for peers, and she's also a member of our safety committee. Over the many years on the help desk, Sharon estimates that she's handled thousands of calls for assistance and support. She's always been regarded as patient and helpful, and I can attest to that personally. Sharon regularly takes classes at Modesto Junior College, among other sources, to support her continued growth and development. Sharon is a very kind and easygoing employee who is a pleasure to work with. She contributes much to creating a positive work environment and building the morale of others. She's very organized and detail-oriented in her work, and she's always striving to learn and grow. One of Sharon's most notable experiences in the community was her involvement with the Modesto Vietnam Veterans Chapter 880 for 6 years. So Sharon, thank you again for your commitment and your contributions to the county over the last 25 years.
You don't have to worry about us. You know, we're very friendly here. So, congratulations on 25 years. I had it took note in you know, how you came on before technology and computers had even begun. And the thing that's always amazed me is how the computers and programs that we're using today didn't even exist not that many years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to didn't keep up with it. I'm hopelessly lost, and I'm still living in the 50s. So anyway, congratulations on this. Do you have some family or friends or a few last words you'd like to say?
Everybody keeps asking me when I'm going to retire.
Well, you got another 25 years to go.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I'd like to thank everybody from our department that came to support me and everybody in my family and people in the county that helped me get where I am now. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
We're honored to have you as an employee of the county.
Congratulations.
For sure, the honor is ours.
Well, I was happy to honor the service awards from longtime employees. We had several of them today. They found their career with the county very rewarding. Okay, we will now go to public comment period. This is the time for members of our audience to address this board on any item that is not on today's agenda. If you would like to address an agenda item, you'll have to wait until that item comes up. We limit comments to 5 minutes. I have one speaker card, Vernon Lee Price.
I do apologize for my absence of the addressing the board. I'd like to speak to Miss Olivia first before she leaves this morning. I'd like to give an emotional thank you for the recognition and implementation of the homeless community as a culture, because you have touched over 1,265 lives with hope this morning. And I just want to say thank you. Because sometimes when we forget that we're even noticed or even listened to, we find out of the shadows someone has even given recognition. So I just want to say thank you to her, thank you to this board, and to what she does in this community. Because of that, I can address you this morning with an invitation to a homeless Bill of Rights march that the homeless is doing as of the 19th of this month, starting at 6:30 assembly at the Gospel Rescue Mission. We will proceed from there to 1010 10th Street. At that time, we will be having speakers come from the Western Regional Advocacy Project from San Francisco. We are able to say that there is, because of this lady's work, that we can stand and say that our voice is heard. With that invitation, there will also be a bleed that y'all may have on file. I do apologize for the late filing yesterday of this survey that would be conducted amongst the homeless people. This is represented by the homeless or the Western Regional Advocacy Project. It is the National Homeless People Civil Rights Campaign Survey. Y'all do have a PDF on file and sent to you. The results of that first implementation, this will be the second out of four series of four. We will be reaching nationwide, and the Western Regional Advocacy Project will be assisting me to the sister counties or cities like Patterson, Turlock, so their voice can be heard in this also. So I'd like to give a personal invitation to everyone at this board that you have an open invitation to speak at this event on the 19th, which would be outside to the outside the doors here, in between here and the plaza. Excuse me, I'm tongue-tied for words. That 1 hour has affected me. So I want to let you know what's going on in your community, in your district, and also give you a personal invitation of joining together, joining hands, that we can fight the adversity. Sometimes that adversity comes from within myself and ourselves. We build the wall of lying to us that we're protecting ourselves, but we're incarcerating ourselves. So thanks for the love of this community, Community Services, BHRS, understanding that what the culture is, that we can tear down those walls of imprisonment, and we can join hands and forces with the Mental Health Board. Thank you, Supervisor Withrow, for the love that you give the board of the mental health and this community. Thank you so much for your time, your consideration. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer those. If not, then thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Price. Is there anyone else in our audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. We do have a request to pull item B8. Any member of this board wish to pull another item from the consent calendar for separate consideration?
B4.
Is there anyone else? Is there anyone from our audience who wishes to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar except for items B4 and B8.
I will make the motion to accept all consent except for B4 and B8.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, had me worried there for a minute. Okay, motion's been made and seconded that we accept the consent calendar except for items B4 and B8. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried. 5-0. Okay, we will now move to agenda item B4.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a quick comment on item B4. Many people question why I made such a big deal about cars and what we surplus and how we buy them, and I think today's action kind of reflects and shows why. I have no objection to the surplusing of these vehicles today, based on age, some on age, some on mileage. But what I think it highlights is it shows that some of our vehicles we're not utilizing to the full potential. A lot of these vehicles that we're surplusing out has an annual average of less than 4,000 miles, 3,500 miles a year. And just think what you put on your own personal car. And that's the case. A lot of my vehicles should have been gone a long time ago. But I think it just shows that we need to utilize a little better. And it further highlights by the fleet manager who's not allowing some of these cars to be replaced. Because of the lack of mileage that has been put on. And if you do some quick math, we probably invest close to $3 million a year in new vehicle acquisitions, not counting operation maintenance costs of those vehicles. And if we found a 10% efficiency, that's a lot of county money we could be saving. So I think it just highlights why I've pushed this issue. We'll continue to push the issue. But I don't object to these surplus vehicles today.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor O'Brien. Is there any motion from the board?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. We approve item B4. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0. We'll now move to agenda item B8. Mr. Price? You need a staff report or that's what we could do for you?
I have a staff summary. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is in regards to a crisis stabilization unit here in Stanislaus County Recovery Center that is located in Series 1904 Richmond Avenue. As I was reviewing the document, there's a lot of things, people, entities involved, DMC, emergency room staff, participants, Kaiser Medical Center, Memorial Medical Center, but I do not see, stakeholders. When I say stakeholders, I don't mean entities. I mean people that are consuming these services that are at the table. We need to be included in these decision-makings, since these decision-makings is about our lives, improving the quality of that thereof. I would like to be able to take this back to the homeless community, the mental health community, for their overview. It's not that we're trying to make any changes in said document. It's just that we want to be included. If we can ask respectfully and considerably, that this item be held over until the next meeting on those grounds. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer. If not, then thank you so much for your respectful time this morning.
Okay, now, Ms. Hill, you want to address this? As I understand, this is an architectural contract award.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have a really weak voice this morning, so I'll do my best. We do have a staff presentation if you'd like to see it. But if I may start, I'll start specifically with Mr. Price's comments. The Crisis Stabilization Unit and the establishment of that is a critical part of the 24/7 mental health plan adopted by your board. That was adopted about a year and a half ago as a result of tremendous community and partner input. Not only our hospital partners, our healthcare provider partners, partners with behavioral health and recovery services and stakeholders. In fact, this plan at that time, and Mr. Price may not have been here then, was not only presented to the mental health board, but there were specific stakeholder meetings with all of the stakeholders that work in and around the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services about the components of the strategic plan. There were three very key components in that plan: developing recommendations for increased capacity for inpatient care on a 24/7 hourly basis. That's our psychiatric health facility that was opened last March 1st. To assess opportunities for creating a community crisis stabilization service to avoid hospitalization. That's what's before you today. Simply to hire Mr. Mike Navarro, who's in the audience, to begin the architectural work on that project. And that project and its funding presented to you today went through a mental health stakeholders process that Dr. Scheffler could speak to if you have more questions. And finally, development of the aftercare strategies, most of which has been put in place as a result of funding with the Mental Health Services Act. So what comes to you today is a part of a strategic plan that's a couple years old, a couple years in the making, and was fully vetted in the community. And we will continue to do that as we move forward on these very important initiatives. We do have a PowerPoint if you'd like to see it, or I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. And also Dr. Scheffler's in the audience if you have any questions for her as well.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Price, does that answer your questions? This has been in the process for a couple of years now.
Yes, sir. I do not deny that. And I was involved in the MHSA Act 2 years ago and highly aware of this. But we also cannot deny that there has not been persistence. I've been inside of these facilities as a patient. Bottom line, I know that. You have my diagnoses on file. I have not ran from my mental illness. Mental illness used to have me. I have it. I have overcome it controlling my life. There are some glitches. There are not the outpatient services. And I will be making this address to the Mental Health Board that the consumers don't have the aftercare. As a matter of fact, I can give you a copy of my last encounter, and this is a copy of it here from Doctors Medical Center. If you'd like this on file, I'll be glad to give it to you. And Dr. Madeline is very highly aware because she has given me an email out of respect of her looking into it, and I'm waiting for a response to that. Where I was told I had missed a meeting. No, I'm here to deny that because at 9 a.m. I talked to Liz at the intake. We have no record of your appointment. At that point, there's no need of me trying to arrange transportation to a sister city and wondering how I'm going to get back, okay? When they say they have no record of a file of my meeting. This is documented. Well, TeleCare was there, the assessment assessor was there, you know, this, that, and the other, but you weren't, Mr. Price. But my phone call goes on record. I have a recording of that phone call, and I'll be glad to give that to you. If there's any, again, I said before you, I don't have the money for other things, but I'll be glad to pass a polygraph.
These are good concerns and things that we've talked about and stuff, and
yes,
I'm looking forward to getting you at the Mental Health Board when we'll kind of go through all this at the Mental Health Board and with that board there and really discuss your issues here. So, and I think that, like we said, the Crisis Stabilization Unit appreciate your input, and we've been working on this for years.
I understand, but my question solely and foundationally, where are the consumers at this that have, you know, have a right to voice their opinion? I spoke with 25 of them before I came here this morning. Okay, out on scenic. And they're afraid of repercussions. Me personally, my dog entered this fight with nothing. You can take everything away, we break even. But I have a right, a moral responsibility, my calling, to speak on the behalf of those that are afraid to speak. And these are their concerns.
No, that's perfect. Our meeting come up this month. We'll get you there, and we'll go through all these.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks for it.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, thank you, Mr.
Thank you so much for your time.
This agenda item is to approve a contract for architectural design.
So moved.
Yeah, the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you for the staff report. We'll now move to agenda item B12, consideration and approval of the first quarter financial report. Patrice? It's all yours.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. My name is Patrice Dietrich with the Chief Executive Office. Joining me at the staff table today is Cindy Tomlinson and Doris Foster. I'd like to take a moment to recognize and thank the entire CEO budget team, many of whom are in attendance here today, along with our department heads and their staff, their budget officers, for all their efforts in bringing this report to you this morning. The primary goals of the first quarter financial report are to provide a fiscal update since the adoption of the 14-15 adopted final budget in September, to review recommendations for adjustments contained in the first quarter financial report, to discuss significant ongoing challenges and issues that remain for our budget operations this fiscal year, and to provide an opportunity for public comment. This year's report continues to be organized around your board's 7 priority areas, which are detailed on the screen. As a quick recap, the final adopted budget 2014-2015 that you approved in September totaled nearly $1.1 billion. The final budget authority is displayed on this chart by your board priority areas. Throughout the report, you'll notice we analyze what we refer to as the operating budget. In addition to what you approved as part of the final budget, the operating budget includes spending authority carried over from last year, noted as prior year appropriations, as well as any changes that you've approved since the final budget through September 30, 2014. The table on the slide before you reflects the operating budget at $1.1 billion. Includes a summary of the first quarter recommendations by fund type totaling $1.1 million for a total recommended first quarter budget of $1,116,263,562. That's a big number. I was afraid I was going to get it wrong. The first quarter report includes recommendations for increased appropriations totaling $1.1 million. Along with increases in estimated revenue of $2.6 million. These recommended adjustments are displayed by priority area and result in a positive contribution to fund balance retained earnings of just over $1.5 million in the healthy community area. As of September 30, 2014, discretionary revenue is on track with first quarter receipts at $7.9 million. This represents about 4.7% of the 14-15 final budget projection of $169 million. The 5-year trend for first quarter discretionary revenue ranges from 4.4 to 6.3%, placing current operations within this range. Actual sales and use tax revenue has declined from the prior year due to posting of prior year revenue in 13-14. The actual sales tax trend reflects a 2% increase over the prior year period, and the major source of discretionary revenue property tax will not actually be reflected as revenue until the first installments are received in December. So this is just a very small period of time and 1 month's worth of sales tax receipts. Therefore, it's too early in the year to determine if there are any changes necessary. We've gone through the details of the discretionary revenue. It looks good. We continue to closely monitor. We'll analyze the actual behavior and return at the mid-year report with a detailed update. At this point, Cindy will present the recommendations by priority area.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. I'm Cindy Tomlinson, Deputy Executive Officer. In the safe community priority area, an overall increase of $16,679 is recommended for the accounting change in cost distribution of the Geographic Information System, or GIS, charges to user department. As part of the 2014-2015 adopted final budget, county match funding of $122,000 was included in the Public Works Department budget to offset the cost of the GIS system associated with use by general fund departments. Your board directed staff to reallocate the funding to the user departments. This technical adjustment allocates approximately $17,000 in funding to the departments within the safe community. As we go through the priority areas, I will touch on the remaining reallocations, and later in the presentation we'll provide the full accounting of these technical adjustments. There is no net increase to the county as a result of the reallocation of GIS charges. In the healthy community priority area, an overall increase of $2.6 million in appropriations is recommended. For behavioral health and recovery services, it is recommended to add 3 block budgeted mental health clinician 3 positions to partner with the community services agency in serving youth and children, including those in foster care, who also need mental health services, as required by the KDA class action lawsuit settlement. The KDA lawsuit settlement seeks to accomplish systemic change for mental health services to children and youth. Management of the services is the function of the child and family team, consisting of child welfare workers, mental health clinicians, and social workers. Services provided under KDA are some of the most intensive services available and must be provided 24/7 with a focus on reunification. The goals are to prevent multiple placements, reduce the amount of time in placement, and to reduce hospitalizations. The recommended positions will be funded with Medi-Cal revenue generated by billable services and realignment revenue. In the Community Services Agency, it is recommended to increase appropriations by a little over $471,000 funded with state and federal revenue to implement the new Medi-Cal Outreach Grant as part of the Affordable Care Act implementation and to meet the needs for mandated supportive services in children programs. The Outreach Grant is a 2-year program that will assist the county in enrollment efforts in the hard-to-reach target populations. There is no share of cost to the county. The increase in core services for mandated children's programs is funded from 2011 realignment revenue, also with no county share requirement. It's further recommended to add 11 Family Service Specialist 2 positions to process these additional cases resulting from the Affordable Care Act expansion of the Medi-Cal program. During the past 12 months, the department has had 40% growth in the number of individuals served, but only a 16% increase in the Family Services Specialists who provide much of the services. As health care reform and Affordable Care Act moves into its second year, staff will continue to monitor and analyze the impact on the department and any potential staffing needs for the future. It is recommended to increase the Health Services Agency Clinic and Ancillary Services Enterprise Fund by $1.2 million to fully fund all negotiated labor cost increases and a distribution of agency costs away from the indigent health care program into the clinic's budget. And I'll explain that more in the next slide. The expenses will be funded by $2.2 million in departmental revenue, primarily from the rate year 2012-2013 Intergovernmental Transfer Program approved by your board on September 16th of this year. In the Indigent Health Care Program, it is recommended to decrease appropriations by approximately $600,000 in salaries and program support costs for the Medically Indigent Adult Program. Since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act in January of 2014, the MIA program has seen a significant decline in enrollees. Most individuals previously eligible for the MIA program are now eligible for Medi-Cal or insurance to cover California. As a result, reductions in the program budget are recommended to reflect the remaining workload associated with the MIA program. I want to point out that within the Indigent Health Care Program budget is also the Healthy Cubs program, funded through the Children and Families Commission, and it provides health care access and services to pregnant women and children ages 0 to 5 in families with an income of less than 300% of the federal poverty level. This program includes programs such as Medi-Cal and Kaiser Kids. Healthy Cubs serves as the provider of last resort when eligible applicants do not qualify for any other health access programs. As a comparison, in the fiscal year 2012-2013 adopted final budget, the Indigent Health Care Program had an interim spending plan of $12.7 million with an unmet need of $3.8 million. As recommended to you is this first quarter budget, the remaining budget for inpatient health care program would be a total of $1.8 million, a significant reduction in a very short time. We have some staffing recommendations for you at the Health Services Agency, primarily related to the reduction in program services in the indigent health care program. We are recommending to delete one vacant manager 3 position and one vacant staff services technician position, also to unfund one staff services analyst position. These position changes are recommended to be effective December 31st, 2014. As recommended, the indigent health care program budget will no longer have any full-time allocated positions. As a comparison, the 2012-2013 adopted final budget included 34 allocated positions for this program. Agency staff in other divisions will provide assistance as needed for the medically indigent adult program and Healthy Cubs. It's further recommended to delete one vacant account clerk 3 position in the clinics and ancillary services. In a strong agricultural economy and heritage, an overall increase of $7,000 is recommended for the accounting change in cost distribution of the GIS charges to user departments. In a well-planned infrastructure priority area, an overall increase of $26,000 is recommended for the accounting change in cost distribution of GIS charges. In the efficient delivery of public services priority area, an overall decrease of about $50,000 is recommended as a result of this accounting change for the GIS cost distribution. For the auditor controller, it's recommended to delete one vacant accountant 3 position. As part of the 2014-15 adopted final budget, the department was allocated 2 new manager 2 positions with the plan to come back and delete the vacant accountant positions once the manager positions were filled. At this time, one of the manager positions has been filled, therefore the recommendation to delete one vacant accountant position. Within the Chief Executive Office, it's recommended to unfund one vacant Confidential Assistant 3 position and to restore funding to one Confidential Assistant 4 position for the Clerk of the Board. The higher level classification is needed to lead the ongoing archival process and to assist with the weekly board agenda process. As previously mentioned, with the adoption of the final budget in September, your board directed staff to return at first quarter to reduce the general fund match to public works by $122,486 and reallocate that revenue and expense to the appropriate general fund departments. I've touched on each of these in the priority areas. The chart before you shows the actual distribution of those costs to the departments. And at this time, Doris will finish our presentation.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring, Doris Foster, Senior Management Consultant. For staffing, the total current authorized positions as of the adopted final budget was 3,978. On September 30th, 2014, the Board of Supervisors approved the 2014-2015 Mental Health Services Act plan, which included the addition of 14 positions. Recommended in the first quarter financial report are 14 new positions to restore one unfunded position, to unfund 2 vacant positions, and delete 4 vacant positions for a total new authorized position of 4,001. It is important to note that this is still 602 below our peak of July 2007 of 4,603. The first quarter financial report shows the county is balanced and actual performance is tracking well within the 2014-2015 operating budget and year-end projections, with only minor budget adjustments that have been highlighted in this report. Public safety restoration analysis is ongoing and the department long-range model is being fully developed through this process with a planned report to the Board of Supervisors at mid-year. County staff will continue to monitor the 2014-2015 budget operations
and be prepared to make appropriate recommendations and changes as the mid-year financial report on March 3, 2015. The staff recommendations before you today are, number one, accept the Chief Executive Officer's first quarter financial report for fiscal year 2014-2015. Number two, authorize the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to make the necessary adjustments as recommended in the first quarter financial report. Number three, amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommendations included as part of the first quarter financial report, as outlined in the staffing impact section of this report and detailed in Attachment B, to be effective the start of the first full pay period beginning on or after November 15, 2014, unless otherwise noted. Number four, approve contracts and or agreements listed on Attachment C in cumulative amount of $100,000 or greater as of July 1, 2012, and authorize the General Services Agency Director, Purchasing Agent, or Department Head to sign. Number five, approve the Chief Executive Officer's updated countywide office closure schedule detailed in Attachment E. The county's budget can be reviewed on our website, www.stancounty.com, as indicated. This concludes this morning's presentation. Staff is available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions of staff at this time? Supervisor O'Brien?
Mr. Chairman, just one question on the indigent health care. What's the other half of that accounting entry? So we're reducing appropriations. Where's the other half going?
It would essentially reduce the department's need to use their fund balance, which is non-existent in that budget. So it just reduces that exposure.
Okay. Any further questions of staff?
Just real quick, kind of a follow-up on that. Those savings that were occurring in MIA, though, a large percentage of those are going back to the state, right? We're not actually realizing those savings. We're getting less money from the state. Is that right?
That is correct.
As a result of our agreement with...
That is correct. As part of the state budget actions last year, they redirected a large portion of realignment revenue away from counties to fund the state's cost of Affordable Care Act. So we lost $7-8 million out of it. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the department staff is here that can answer that.
And that was based on the option that we chose. I think that's what we did there.
Correct, the 60-40.
I just don't want people to think, geez, we're saving all this money, and what are we doing with it? Well,
no, and in fact, we still have an obligation to use the county match dollars at the appropriate level. We get no savings in the match. It has to still be spent on the health program.
Perfect. Thank you.
Further questions of staff? Anybody from the audience who wishes to comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for decision. Comments? Motion?
I will make a motion to approve all staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. We approve the five staff recommendations. I remind the board that this does take 4/5 vote to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried, 5-0. Thank you for your presentation. Very thorough. Okay, we have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Yeah, just remind everybody, today's election day. I get out there and vote, and I will serve as the board's election observer tonight, and I'll stay there till midnight or however long it takes to make sure everything goes smoothly. Not that I've ever found a problem in the past, but I'm there just in case. Polls close at 8 o'clock. You just have that plenty of time to go out there and vote. Legislative and Fiscal Management Report, Mr. Risen.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to report that under the leadership of our Assistant Emergency Services Director, Dale Skiles, the Office of Emergency Services has been prioritizing a planning effort to develop an outbreak prevention and response plan specific to Ebola. personnel from numerous county departments, cities, and partnering agencies came together to write the plan, and on Friday a draft of the plan was delivered to our public health department. Access of information on Ebola and the upcoming influenza is available at stanemergency.com. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Risen. We will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a first conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1, involving one case, Irina Ingert et al. Versus Stanislaus County et al., United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number 1:13-CV-00126-LJO-BAM. Additionally, there's conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes. The labor organizations are those listed on the agenda. We do not expect to report out on any of these matters, and it would be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments on these matters.
Okay, seeing none, this meeting stands adjourned.